minister to us, that you will draw out those things that should not be there and pull in the things that should. Lord, that we would just let your Spirit move in our hearts. And Lord, that we would be challenged this morning as well with just the things that you have brought. Lord, that I might get out of the way and you would step forward and speak through me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been doing a little bit of traveling lately, and while we travel, we like to listen to different sermons and things that that are out there, new principles, new things that we maybe haven't heard before. And we were listening to this guy, he's a rabbi, Jonathan Kahn, he's one of our favorite speakers, I guess, and he was sharing a message, and of course, being Hebrew, Jewish, you know, he had some really interesting insight. He knows the culture, the language, and all the things that, that encompass what we read out of the scriptures, because this was, you know, generated from the Jewish people and then given to us. So it's a lot of new and strange things when he starts talking about how the scriptures were written and what their intent were and what the meanings of the words were. And so there was this one message we were listening to, and I want to expand it and expound on it and bring it into the birth of Jesus, because his point as he was speaking was that heaven literally comes down to us, that God intended heaven not to be this foreign object, but that we should be very familiar with it. And so the best way to do it is to just start going through some of those scriptures, and I think you'll catch on rather rapidly. The first thing that I want us to understand is in Exodus 25, and that's 116 in the Pew Bibles. It is your second book in the Bible. And Exodus chapter 25, and verses 8 and 9. And this is where Moses and the Israelite people got the plans for the tabernacle. So I want you to see this, what it says in particular, 25, 8 and 9. It says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Well, now, what's the pattern? You know, God gave Moses specific measurements and specific guidelines how to make the tabernacle. And so we find in Hebrews, and this is all the way in the New Testament, 18:28 in your Pew Bible, 18:28. All the way back to the New Testament, and this is Hebrews chapter 8. And what we find in chapter 8, starting with verse 5, or actually we're just going to read verse 5 and then back up to 1 and 2. I want to read verse 5 first. Chapter 8, verse 5 in Hebrews, it says, "They serve," talking about the priests, "they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, 'See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" And then you back up to verses 1 and 2 in chapter 8, and it says, "The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not man. not by man. So what we see is that the tabernacle is actually in heaven. But God gave Moses specific measurements and guidelines to build the tabernacle so we would have a copy of what is in heaven. Heaven came to earth. Also, in the form of a baby, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, heaven came to earth. Jesus, the high priest, who serves us now in heaven, he came to earth as well and showed us the way. So, the real high priest is in heaven at this point, in the real tabernacle, not the one made by men. But the one made by men is here in this earth. Now, a little more evidence here. God created the Garden of Eden a paradise. Adam and Eve lived in that garden temporarily, at least. I don't know. No one knows exactly how long. But they lived there for a while in paradise. In Luke, you don't have to turn there, Luke 23:43, Jesus was hanging on the cross. And what did he say to the thief on the cross? This day you'll be in paradise with me. So paradise also came to earth, but is heaven. Revelation 2:7 also says that paradise is what heaven is called. Heaven is paradise. So now in the Advent, God comes to man as a baby. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So in John 1:14, it tells us that the Word came to us. God came to us in the flesh. I want you to turn to Philippians 1:85. We're building a foundation here, just to hang with it. Philippians 1:85 in your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2:5-8, 1785, Philippians. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus, as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So, again we see that Jesus came to earth, heaven, God, to explain to us what's going on. Now in Matthew 1:23, Jesus is called, it says, you shall call him Emmanuel. God with us. God now is with us. Now, it's not to be confused with when he was named Jesus. You know, a lot of us are thinking, well, if he was named Emmanuel, why does his name come out Jesus, God saves? Well, it's because it says you will call him Emmanuel. It's kind of like Jesus was here, and then they're going to call him Emmanuel. Hey, he's God with us. You know, it's not a nickname. It's what people would call him. And actually, that happened because he was called Messiah, Anointed One, which is God with us. So, we have all these things happening. And here's what I'm saying. God made us in Genesis 1:26-27. God said, we'll make us in His image. We are in the image of God. And in your bulletins, if you notice, there's a little paper there, and it talks about laminin. And I want that picture to come up, because this is what the protein laminin looks like. Now, you'd say, wow, that looks kind of like a cross, fancy little cross. Well, it is. And the reason why is that protein laminin, you know what it does? In the explanation in your bulletin, it tells you it's the glue that holds our cells and everything together. Now, there's some that dispute that, well, we shouldn't get carried away and make this into something more than it's not. But in Colossians, it says that Jesus Christ holds all things together. Now, this protein is found in all animal life. This protein holds everything together. Laminin is an important protein in our bodies. It's what you could call a thumbprint or a mark that God has left in us. Now, we all know the scripture in Romans chapter 1, it talks about that the invisible character of God, and I believe I put that in your bulletin there, that the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. The man has no excuse. The more that science finds out about our makeup and who we are and the world and how creation has been made, the more they see the handprint of God. And so what I want to tell you is that God has been showing us throughout history that we belong to Him. We are His creation. Heaven is our home. Remember John 14, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to bring you to be where I am." Well, Jesus came to earth and dwelt among us. Heaven came to earth. Not because, you know, that's where heaven belongs. No. It's because we belong in heaven. But we don't have to worry about, you know, where we belong. If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, heaven is your home. You're going to heaven. He paid our ticket. He paid the price. He satisfied the penalty of sin for us. And so when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, heaven is your home. You have heaven already. You may not be experiencing all the benefits of heaven, but you have heaven. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 22, 17:18 in the Pew Bible, 17:18, Romans 8, 22-24. Here's what he says. Paul says this: "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." You know, this groaning, you ever feel like you don't belong? You ever feel like that? You go somewhere and you just feel like, "I don't belong here." You know, we were talking about that the other day. It's just like you go to certain places and you really don't feel like you belong. But in this world, we see so much going on that we just feel like, you know, we just don't belong here. God has given us everything we need. He has created us in His image. You know, there's a popular evangelism program that says that we have a God-shaped hole in our heart. We are missing a piece of the puzzle. You know, those that have not accepted Jesus as their Savior have a piece missing. And they try all kinds of things to fill that void. You know, I remember when I visit my parents, we do puzzles. And we play card games and things like that. And isn't it a bummer when you're playing a card game and a card is missing? Or when you're putting a piece of a puzzle together and one piece is gone? You know, you want to finish that puzzle, but the piece is missing. You know, I try to go into other puzzles and find a piece that'll fill that spot. It doesn't work. Nothing fills that spot except the piece that's meant to be in that spot. And it's exactly the same as our lives in Christ. We are created to be in heaven. Heaven is created for us. God didn't create it so that it would be empty. He created it for us. He created it for you. He created it for me. And that piece missing out of your life, you try all kinds of things to fill it. I've known people who've tried alcohol, drugs, women or men, or stuff, possessions, more money, work, all kinds of things. We try to fill that and find peace. find fulfillment, find happiness, and you can't. There's nothing that will fill it except that one piece of the puzzle. That's Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit needs to fill that place. Until you let Him fill that place, you will not be comfortable. You will not feel fulfillment. You will not have that peace. And so I invite you to fill that peace, especially during this time of the year. Jesus came to earth. He came to tell us about the peace we're missing. And He wants us to be with Him in heaven. Heaven came down to earth so we could see our home, to see that that's where I belong. That's what it is. And He wants us to recognize that He alone will fill that place that's missing. He is the laminin. He is that peace. So let's bow our heads and pray. And if you haven't accepted the Lord, you can do that right where you're sitting. And I'm not going to make you walk forward. I just want you to come to know the Lord, because that's the greatest present you will ever get in the Christmas time. Let's bow now. Father, we come before You thanking You so much that You created us and that You have given us so much. Lord, it's not all the possessions, it's not all the money, it's not all the things, but You've given us forgiveness. You've taken our sins upon Yourself. You've put them on the cross with Yourself. And when You died that day, You went to the grave with our sins on Your shoulders. And then when You rose again, You left those sins right there, so that we would have forgiveness in You. Lord, I pray that there is no one here who has not accepted You as Savior. But Lord, if there is, if they're tugged at the heart, if they feel that nudge, if they realize that that puzzle piece is missing and they need to fill that piece and it's You that needs to fill it, Lord, I pray that they would just pray, Lord Jesus, I come to You now and I ask You to fill my life, to fill that missing piece, to bring me forgiveness for the sins that I've committed, that I might be cleansed and clean before You. Lord Jesus, that You will forgive me and give me the Holy Spirit to live this life complete and fulfilled. Thank You so much. And Lord, for some of us who are old Christians and maybe we've kind of forgotten what it's all about, Lord, I pray that You would fill us and renew us, that You would give us that fresh fulfillment and Lord, that we might be excited about that You brought us here to this world so we might share with others the importance of making You the King of our lives, the Lord of our lives. Lord, now we commit the rest of the service into Your hands and we thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Hark the herald angels sing, and we're going to sing that as we close. Let's all stand. We got two verses up on the screen. Hark the herald angels sing.